to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. Common sense, conservative values, Monday through Friday. That is what we serve. That is what you come to get. It is a beautiful, synchronous relationship that we have here. As we see what's going on our college campuses, we see what's going on our streets and our neighborhoods. We understand what is at stake, and we are banding together in search of the truth. It should not be difficult, and yet it is so difficult in this world today. Everything is a lie. It's fake. It's propaganda. Not here. If you're new to the show, Wendy Bell Radio Network, that's our app. You can check us out on our live video stream, whole 3 hours, commercial breaks and everything. We're on all sorts of radio stations, soon to add Chattanooga to the mix, and we have a big announcement tomorrow on the show, folks. So make sure you come back, bring a friend, and as always, welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. So Joe and I, my husband and I, were out in the yard the other day. It was Friday. He had an odd kind of half day. So he came home and we looked at the weeds in our grass. There is no grass. It's all weeds. And he's trying to hoe up the grass so we can put down some seed and do this stuff. And I decided to let our golden doodle out. Murphy. Murphy, as I've said, dumber than a box of hair. Sweet, sweet dog. But he's gotten very persnickety lately. He does not like paying attention. He does not think that he needs to obey us. And he decided, as the mailman pulled up, and it was a new mailman, I wanted to get him in the house because he likes to get very excited and jump on people. And it's embarrassing, and I should have been better with him when he was a puppy, because it wouldn't have happened. And that's my fault. So I'm trying to shoo him into the house and he's not listening. And Joe's about to blow his top. He is so upset. Finally, as my youngest sons are getting home from school or coming home from the bus, they're walking up the street. Murphy runs across the street, which he knows he's not allowed to do. Thank goodness one of the boys gets his leash, or his collar rather, drags him inside the house. And I walk in behind him. And he's panting, right? And I admonish him, and I go back outside to help Joe with the grass seed. And Murphy comes to the window and looks outside, and Joe says to me, he says, "Why didn't you put him in his crate?" And I said, "Oh, he's super hot. He was panting a lot." He says, "No, he's got to be disciplined in the moment. You've got to put him in the crate. Shut the door. He has to realize he can't act like that." And we got into this fight, and I was like, "All right." He was 100% correct. 100% correct. And it took me watching at these jerks on college campuses to realize how I'm a terrible pet owner. Terrible. Terrible. I'm like, "Oh, Murphy, you're probably all hot. You need water. Well, I'll let you out." That's not how you discipline a dog who has disobeyed you. This is not how you manage people on college campuses, right? It's weird that my mind went there this morning, but it's exactly right. Joe is right. There must be consequences. The consequences have to be swift, and they have to be serious. Or else the animal knows, or else the sniveling, woke, virtue-signaling protesters of privilege realize they can walk all over anybody whenever they want. And let me tell you something. Every one of these jerks who's going to be leaving one of these universities, who's created a campus of fear, of terror, who have invaded spaces, broken windows, barricaded things, made demands, and been overarchingly malignant and embarrassing. All of these idiots are going to graduate and expect to get jobs somewhere. Imagine if one of them lands in your division. You really think that the demands of a spoiled brat generation who needed to be slapped a long time ago, the way my dog needed to be told who was boss about 7 years ago when he was a puppy, do you think it's going to change? No. They are going to be the malignant personalities who drive everybody in your office bananas. They're going to have demands. They're going to want this. They're going to want that. All of these people who've contributed exactly zero to our country. I wanted to read you this. This is Northwestern. How not to behave when you're dealing with sniveling children. You don't do what Northwestern did and cave. How about this? NationalReview.com. Northwestern cuts deal with encampment organizers, establishes full ride scholarship for Palestinian students. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? My parents both went to Northwestern. I was born in Evanston, Illinois. If one of my children wanted to go there, hell no. Hell no. Not to mention Chicago sucks. Excuse me if you live there, but doubt me, right? What are you doing? You are telling every Jewish student out there that you are not wanted, that your rights aren't respected, that your freedom to go to school and to learn unencumbered by woke scumbag activists doesn't matter. We choose other people other than you. Jewish students now are the lowest of the lowest class citizens in the United States of America in the year 2024. I wonder, where are all the black students out there? The black students who know what it's like to be discriminated against at some point in their lives? Where is the solidarity for those who are exactly the same but look a little bit different? Or does that not matter anymore? How do you make a deal with students who have terrorized your campus, who have broken the laws and the rules of the establishment on campus? How do you do that? You're a bad leader. You're a bad leader teaching a wrong message at exactly the wrong time in American history. You know what this moment is, ladies and gentlemen, all of these demonstrations on college campuses? This is the moment during COVID when parents across America watched their children on computers in Zooms and got to see for themselves what their kids were learning. It was that aha moment, that light bulb going off, where collectively as grown-ups, as parents, we said, what the heck is going on in our classrooms? And then parents awakened and they started taking action and they started going to school board meetings and they started fighting for what we thought our children were getting, which they were not. Quality education in a safe environment where rules are followed because that's the law of the land. This is that great aha moment, except we're moving on past first and secondary schools. And we're gonna just fast forward right to the campus experience. Colleges and universities. Worth it, do you think? I think a lot of parents and a lot of students out there are going to say no. I think schools like Northwestern, who want to give full ride scholarships, who've offered all of these concessions like a seat at the table when the university negotiates how it spends its money and where, you're going to let people who have bitched and moaned for 5 days pull up a chair and have a say? That dog's going to be jumping forever. They're never going to understand. This is the environment in which we live. This agreement, by the way, from Northwestern. It's all about investments, inclusivity, free speech, they say. Nothing there in this agreement about protecting the safety and the peace of mind of Jewish students. You're finding a new lowest class, ladies and gentlemen. It's been exposed. And either there is a rampant, vile, discriminatory underbelly in this country. And it ain't against black people. It's against Jews. Or we're riding one wild wave of suck. And I sure hope it crashes soon, because this is unsustainable. We've got the sights and the sounds from Columbia to UCLA to all points in between. They took down the American flag at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and put up a Palestinian flag. How dare you? Time for moms and dads to get extreme and rein in their brats. I'm Wendy Bell. You're listening to the Wendy Bell Radio Network. We're back right after this. So New York Mayor Eric Adams says the Columbia protest has been co-opted, maybe by crowdsondemand.com. Maybe that's how they do it. They get professional dirtbags in to agitate, piss everybody off. Is that how it works? Because it feels like it. He advises students involved in the protest to leave the area, tells parents to tell their kids to leave before the situation escalates. People inside Hamilton Hall, apparently, at Columbia University, facing charges of burglary in the third degree, criminal mischief, trespassing, shattered windows, barricaded doors, and a hostage. That's more than they did on January 6th. I wonder if they'll be geo-tracked. Do you think their bank accounts will be frozen, and the Bank of America and all these other banks will give to the feds all of the information of these pro-terror protesters? Of course not. You had to love it, though, when they started to get hungry. Got to think a little bit down the road, folks. You got to think more than one step ahead. Like, if you're going to be a professional agitator, right? I mean, if you want to do this 4 or 5 days, you need to have plans. And if you're going to all rush into this building that apparently the faculty and the deans of the of various schools associated, the colleges within the university itself, would go and congregate and meet this Hamilton Hall, co-opted it, prevented the cops from getting in until about 9 o'clock last night when they rolled in pretty hard with flashbangs and all this other stuff. These folks didn't have supplies and they demanded refreshments. I mean, this is preposterous. This is your progressive, woke, virtue signaling folks, and their worlds colliding, right? I'm going to agitate. I'm going to suck. I'm going to make everybody miserable. I'm going to say, yay, from the river to the sea, all Jews should be killed, because that's what that means. But you know what? I'm a little hungry right now. Can I have some sandwiches? How about some water? You don't want us to die, do you? Well, don't ask that question. Listen to this. This is the head of the whole protest thing going on at Columbia. She's asked by reporters, right? They have like a makeshift media station there. So she can come out and address people as though she's a hostage taker and she's making her demands, right? Listen to the lunacy when progressive, toxic, socialist, Marxist, communist liberalism devours the mind in real time. Listen.
Why should the university be obligated to provide food to people who've taken over a building?
Well, first of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
No, they're not. To
allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation
or
get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that very deliberately in that situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries, we want to take over this building.
But feed us.
Now would you please bring us food, water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
They're stopping the delivery of food?
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it
violently. They haven't stopped it.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
You know, here's your commitment. Suck it! How about that? Did that work for you guys? Was that immediate enough? I feel like I've got this power now. I can actually say what needs to be said. Sit down, you little twit. Shut your mouth. She wants to be Gaza. She wants to be the Gaza Strip, essentially, right? That's what they're doing. We're gonna sit here and we wanna be completely immune from any culpability for the dirtbag things that we're doing. We're chanting death to Jews. You don't deserve to live. You should be eradicated from the planet. But we'd like to have some scones and some preserves, right? How about a spot of tea? Can we do that? Because you don't want us to die. I mean, you don't want us to die of dehydration. We're the victims here. Can't you see? We have no choice but to protest. Can you imagine if these people had jobs? Of course not. The malignancy would spread. These are all little cancers ready to hit your neighborhood, friends. They're going to graduate and they're going to demand more. This is the Kamani James, the guy who said death to all Zionists. He's going to go out. I should murder people. You should be happy that I'm not going out and murdering white supremacists because they're everywhere. I mean, I know a million of them. How about you guys? You guys regularly meet with your local white supremacy chapter? I know I sure do. How idiotic. And then when he's busted for being a dirtbag, he says, the only reason that you're being mean to me is because I'm black and I'm queer. My man, your victimhood and your vitriol are conflicting inside of your woke little virtue signaling mind. And it doesn't end well for you. Bring us food. We have demands. This is what we want. How about you pack your bags and get the hell out of our campus? You are expelled. How about that? Does that send a message, do you guys think? A little bit. It's hilarious when you watch the hypocrisy. Because this is what has been ruminating. This is what has been percolating under wraps all over the place. This isn't just a Columbia problem. This isn't just a Northwestern problem. This is a higher education problem. And it is a virus. Way more dangerous, I would say, particularly to these people, than COVID. Because I don't know if there's a cure. Do you? When we come back, we're going to take you to the campus of Columbia University as the university president dials 911 and finally says, holy crap, we should have put these kids in their crate a long time ago. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. This weird world we live in. No consequences for the lawbreakers on campuses all over the country. But the full enforcement of the law against a grandma who walked through the Capitol because the door was open and nobody stopped her, who walked through and in 10 minutes was in and out after saying a prayer. She faces a year in prison, ladies and gentlemen, because of January 6th. This all makes sense, right? We have actual vile, loathing hatred of other people. Isn't that contrary to everything we teach growing up? Is it all just a giant farce? Of course. Of course, you also know that the wife of the leader of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad decided to join the protesters on the lawn at Columbia University. Oh, that's fantastic. And people are saying, we're going to lose our country to extremists. Lost, ladies and gentlemen. It's lost. It's not even a question. I want to read this before we go on and talk about Columbia. This is what Northwestern University is committing to in its negotiations with the pro-terror-supporting lunatic fringe people on their campus. Got a couple different bullet points. I think you should hear what a woke university that sucks sounds like. Number one, they're committed to free speech. The university, just not Jewish speech, right? Not allowed to talk if you're a Jew. Sit down. Go to the back of the bus. How is it any different? The university will permit peaceful demonstrations through the end of spring quarter classes, provided all such activity immediately and continuously complies with university policies. The university will publicly condemn the doxing of any community member and will advise employers not to rescind job offers for students engaging in speech protected by the First Amendment. Really? How about this? Investments. To provide a conduit to engagement with the investment committee of the Board of Trustees, Northwestern University is reestablishing the Advisory Committee on Investment Responsibility, and it will include representation from students, faculty, and staff. Wow. Northwestern will answer questions from any internal stakeholder about specific holdings held currently or within the last quarter to the best of its knowledge, blah, blah, blah. The university will support visiting Palestinian faculty and students at risk. At risk of what? Exactly. The university commits to fundraise to sustain this program beyond this current commitment. The university will provide immediate temporary space for Muslim students, free housing for Muslim students. Choosing winners over losers. I'm just a boring white Catholic girl. What do I get? Nothing. Fantastic.
Can you identify as a Muslim?
No, I don't know about that. Give me the right garb. I could go to, you know, crowdsondemand.com and see if they could hook me up with one of their kits. The university will provide and renovate a house for these Muslim students that is conducive to community building. Community building. Students who hate Jews and who call for them to be killed. Well, those are people I want on my campus. Oh, come on over. The university will include students in a process dedicated to implementing broad input on university dining services, including residential and retail vendors on campus. And finally, the university will engage students in a process dedicated to ensuring additional support for Jewish and Muslim students within student affairs. It's a joke. You have failed, Northwestern. You have failed. And I hope people who went there let you know it's a disgrace. Let's move now to Columbia University. There was an epiphany in the last 24 hours. Oh, snap. The students have used hammers to break windows and break into this Hamilton Hall, which is kind of an important building on campus, which is why it was selected. And they occupied it, a couple hundred, occupying it, making demands, raising a Palestinian flag. Oh, hell no. Hell no. And so overnight, well, 9 o'clock last night, NYPD, at what cost to the taxpayers? I'm sure quite a bit. Rolled in with a machine called the Bearcat. And it allows them to, the police, to climb up to a second floor window and gain entrance to the student protesters and the malignancies that they have attracted in the community. I want you to hear this. This is a CBS News blurb as the police move in. It looks like protesters are moving out when the police move in. Is that how it works? Is that what force looks like? It causes people to make a decision, get arrested, or leave. Wow, it's amazing how this works. Go.
Sorry, protesters are now seemingly to clash with police on the other side of where this is all happening. I am now seeing one of the gates at campus be open. So now the police on both sides entering this location outside campus where the barricades are. Police are coming through. Protesters somewhat are clearing out a little bit, or at least, you know, leaving this direct area because it was seeming that it was appearing that they were putting some into custody who were blocking them from entering the main gates of campus. Even more, you know, these ones have their batons in hand, their helmets on here.
Crack some heads!
Outside of the gates here as well.
You know,
you have people on the sidewalks moving out of the way chanting.
Allie, I'm just from the little bits that I'm seeing on screen, I thought I was getting an impression from the gate that there was more than just a couple of students leaving the campus, that there might have been a what you might call a slight stream of students leaving the campus. So perhaps with the police moving in, some are moving out. I see behind these officers, I'm seeing some people walk away. I don't know whether they're being taken away.
Is that what happens when you show up with force? And you don't go like the National Guard wasn't allowed to move on January 6th. They had to be kept at bay within eyeshot of the United States Capitol for hours. And then when they were dispatched, they didn't have riot gear. It's almost like it was a setup. And then you see this, an actual insurrection. And why didn't you go in 4 days ago? Because the people in charge are the wrong kind of leaders to teach our children. Period. Weak does not serve you well. Then CNN is even going to say this. They're going to say, wow, the university basically had no choice. You think? They didn't have any choice on Monday. Go.
But do you think the Columbia administration really had any choice at this point? There's been breaking into property, occupying a building. And do you think they had any choice but to call on the police at this point?
I think calling the police was appropriate.
Okay.
I think restoring order is appropriate.
Absolutely.
I think that the challenge is once it rises to that level, making sure that you get it right.
Yeah.
And protecting life at all costs.
Protecting life at all costs. These people want Jews to die. They're calling for all of that, for them to be killed. River to the sea? I mean, do we need to break this down? We need to make sure the police get it right. It's the police's job to make sure they handle the optics so they don't tick off the hornet's nest and set them buzzing even worse. No. You come with me. You are arrested. You are charged. You spend the night in jail. You need a lawyer and you get expelled. You know what message that sends to future malignancies? Don't even think about it. Or you can just sort of do it this way. Then here's Sean Hannity. He's speaking to former Speaker Newt Gingrich. And he brings up a very excellent point at the very end of this. Where the hell is Joe Biden? Go.
Watching this now unfold, what we're witnessing here, Mr. Speaker, is an extremely dangerous police operation. They are now trying to get into the building. I believe that has to be Hamilton Hall that was taken over by students last night. And you can see they're outside one of the windows to the building. They have no idea what they're facing on the other side of this. And again, I go back to the reality is that none of these students will end up getting punished. Maybe the worst case scenario, based on what the president of Columbia has said, maybe a suspension. On a lot of these college campuses, Mr. Speaker, you know, God forbid you use the wrong well, the police now have entered the building. As you can see, one officer is in. A second officer now is climbing through the window. Others are standing by. They're following in suit. What is going to go on inside that building is, you know, anybody's, it could be up to anybody's imagination. What danger they may face on the other side, nobody knows. What we do know is that any students that end up getting arrested there probably are not going to be punished in New York. An extraordinarily dangerous situation. And my last question, Mr. Speaker, where is the president of our country tonight? Where is he?
Where has he been at any moment? Where has he been anytime? He's not there. Literally and figuratively, Sean, and you know that. And finally, in this clip, CBS News again. This is fantastic. The Biden administration planning to offer asylum and refugee asylum status to Palestinians who want to flee. What? Listen.
This news exclusively on CBS News. The Biden administration is considering a plan to allow some Palestinian refugees to come here to the United States. That's according to internal federal government documents that were obtained by CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez. According to the plan, some Palestinians fleeing the war would be offered a permanent safe haven here in the U.S.
Wow.
And one option under consideration is to allow those who have immediate family members who are either American citizens or permanent residents to enter the country if they pass various background checks.
Please.
First. The plans would require coordination with Egypt, which has so far refused to allow large numbers of people from Gaza to cross the border into that country.
So Egypt doesn't want them, but we're going to take them here. We're going to take Palestinians who vote overwhelmingly for Hamas to lead them politically. And we think that's a good mix here in the United States. This is Joe Biden's ridiculous form of appeasement. And what you're going to hear later on in the show is the blistering poll data that they're trying to react to, the same way they're trying to cancel student loan debt in a bribe to this generation of college students. Remember who did that for you? Vote for us. We suck, yeah. But we floated you a solid, and we burdened the American taxpayer with the bill. This is your government. And you want more? When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, where things go sideways until an alum shows up with something special in his car. The story next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, there's something that's certainly different about this wave of unrest on college campuses. Protests are nothing new to college campuses. We could go back to 1968, 1967, Berkeley. We talked about Ronald Reagan as governor having to tackle what was going on regarding women's rights and civil rights and war protests, right? You add the social media context to this, the instant connection of everybody with a personal computer in the palm of their hand, and you couple that with an overarching insecurity and need for fame, need for the spotlight, for approval, to get something personal out of this. And you have all the ingredients of a very, very dangerous elixir on these campuses. But you start messing around with the American flag, that's not gonna end well for you. I want to go to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Because like UCLA, like Arizona, like all these schools, Northwestern, Columbia, et cetera, things started getting a little haywire there as well. Pro-Palestinian protesters taking down the U.S. flag and replacing it with the Palestine flag on the UNC quad. Police there trying to push people back. Things got gnarly. A police officer was assaulted, right? Tell me how this is different from January 6th. Tell me why these people are not arrested and their lives made miserable. Because that's exactly what happened to thousands of people who wandered through the Capitol on January 6, 2021. So pro-Palestinian protesters removed the American flag from the quad at UNC replaced it with the Palestinian one in what was just the latest disruptive incident on campus. Interim Chancellor Lee Roberts then came outside, responded by personally walking out to the quad and helping to restore the U.S. flag to its prominent position on campus to chants that you're about to hear in a moment. However, not long after the flag had been restored, a decision was made to take it back down. That's the last stand. That flag isn't just a piece of fabric, any more than our Constitution and the Bill of Rights are just a piece of parchment. It is the ultimate symbol. There are rules that are passed from generation to generation about the flag. And I want you to hear this. This is a local news report. As one of the reporters for whatever station it is on the ground and identifies a guy who is a grad of UNC, watching what's been going on television, who decided to get in his car and go to these protests on campus where he graduated personally. Listen.
Yeah, Amber, Steve, first things first, I want to show you the scene that's emerged here in probably the last 20 to 25 minutes. You mentioned those barricades that have gone up around the flagpole. There's a gentleman, I don't know, Matt, if you can get a shot of him here above the American flag. He's holding a new American flag. He identified himself as Glenn Benton of Chapel Hill. He's a former UNC grad who came down here when he saw those images of the flag being taken down and then carried off this part of campus earlier, brought his own flag, and he intends to raise this flag back up. We've been listening to him engage in conversation. It's been mostly calm and quiet. At times, things have flared up, but speaking with pro-Palestinian protesters, saying that he believes the flag stands and represents their ability to protest. But kind of an interesting scene here, and that's something that we've heard from several students over the course of the day, how they want to hear more constructive dialogue take place here as well.
Hard to negotiate with terrorists. Mr. Benton, you are today's one. Sometimes all it takes is one. One guy who's had enough, who gets in his car with a beautiful American flag with one mission, and this is what it sounded like when they hoisted it up that flagpole. See, all is not lost on these campuses. That is the takeaway. There is sanity. There is patriotism. There is reality. There are rules. When we come back, I don't think I've ever said this, that I agree with MSNBC, and I agree with them for 5 minutes of a segment. Wait, what happened? And how is it possible that it's Joe Scarborough that I agree with? You might as well. Wow. What an epiphany. Coming up next, hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio program, right after this.